The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station. Live from Radio Row in San Francisco for Super Bowl 50, presented by Wingstop and Herd Robbins Cloud LLP, this is The Blitz. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
All right, we are back into hour number four. I got to tell you, it doesn't feel like we're into a fourth hour here because we've just had one great guest after another. Holding over with us for another segment is Oakland Raiders receiver Michael Crabtree. And we were talking about that catch against the Longhorns and all the other things you did there, and that's the one thing that people always remember. But isn't that kind of cool to have that moment that people automatically, as we had Doug Flutie on earlier, and he's talking about how they're always going to talk about the Hail Mary. You're always going to have that, no matter what your NFL career does from here. Yeah. It's got to be kind of cool.
That's cool, man. It's cool.
And I'm guessing you – I don't know if you ever go back to Lubbock, Texas. I can't imagine you do.
Oh, man, I haven't been back to Lubbock since the day I left.
If you do go back to Lubbock, you ain't buying drinks. You know that. That's for sure. You don't have to buy the drinks. That's a good thing about whatever you do in college. When you get back there, you ain't buying the drinks.
Man, get your guns up, man. I'm a Raider for life. Red Raiders.
Let me I got to ask you, we're talking to a bunch of receivers out here. We've been asking them your best, the best catch you've ever seen in a Super Bowl. Which one jumps out to you as the greatest catch in Super Bowl history?
That's hard. Probably that Giants catch when Tyree caught it over his head.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, that was crazy. I didn't think it was a catch, but it caught the ball.
And that's that was the undefeated Patriots. They were on their way.
Yeah, that was pretty dope.
Okay, you know, I was asking you during the break. We were talking a little bit about Derek Carr, mm-hmm. and I've been a believer in the guy. I told you I pushed hard for the Texans to draft that guy. You said there's no way they could have done it.
Yeah.
You think that fan perception is more important than getting the best players?
I mean, that seems to get in the way of a lot of picks, you know, in football. But that's another story. Derek Carr is amazing, though. I like him, man. He works hard every day. He wants to be the best. He competes. Like, he's just the ultimate competitor, you know. You can't go through the stretch line without competing with something, with DC. He's just a well-rounded guy, man. And the sky's the limit for him, man. I just can't wait to go out there and go on with this second year. You know, the first year is in the books. New coach, new team, new everything. It's in the books. Now it's time. It's what we build from there, you know, what we build on from last year.
What's the ceiling like for a guy like Amari Cooper?
Oh, talent.
Yeah.
He's got all the talent, man. He came in with knowing how to use his talents. You know, that's the difference. A lot of people have talent. Or you might say he have he got a bright future or something. But right now, he know what he's doing, and he know how to do it. He know how to use his talents. He know how to utilize his talents, his speed, his quickness. And you don't see that in young guys coming in the NFL. You know, it take him a couple years. It took me a couple years to really find out, like, who I am, you know, on the field. And him, day one, speed, quickness, all that. Going for the ball, compete. You know, the guy is amazing. It's really fun to watch because you don't see all the good plays being made at practice. You know, that's
right.
Where all the stuff is being made. You see amazing things at practice, and then you get a glimpse on Sunday, you know. But the sky's the limit for Coop, man. And that's my little brother, and we're going to work hard, man. We're going to work.
Tell us about this custom clothing line you got going.
My coterie. I've been doing it for a couple years, man. I started out, man, they were sending me all type of stuff from different clothing lines, Dolce & Gabbana, all that, and I was rocking it for free, and everybody would have my same outfit on the next day with the shoes and everything. So I was like, you know what, I'm going to just have to go do my own thing, and then if they want it, they're going to have to pay for it, you know. It started off like that, and then everybody, like, you know, pretty much gravitated towards it, and all the athletes, entertainers, I suit them up, the dress suits, play clothes, whatever
you
need.
They're going to pay for it?
Yeah, they pay for it.
Good, good.
You know, I give them a discount.
Okay, all right. Teammates get a good discount?
Yeah, I really made it for, like, big guys because I got, like, all my offensive linemen. They can't fit shirts, and they wearing the same thing every week. You know what I'm saying? So I made that plus size for the big guys.
Good for you.
And it's easy. So I got like 20 linemen right now. I can just send whatever, you know.
How much involvement do you have in it? I mean, like, are you
pretty much do everything, you know?
You're like designing clothes?
Designing. I've been doing that since college, man. Drawing
really?
Up clothes, yeah. I don't want it to be like, you know how people hear like, oh, he got a clothing line. He play football.
Right.
He got a clothing line. This is a little different, man. I'm not just doing T-shirts. I know what I'm doing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's a little different. It's something I like to do. And I don't really have to publicize it. I don't really have to let everybody know because I really do it, you know. But it's fun, though. It really is fun, man.
And you also have a mini camp coming up in Dallas. And tell us about the Crab 5 Foundation.
Crab 5 Foundation is exciting, man. I've been doing it for going on 4 years, man. I serviced like 1,000 kids football camp this year. We're going to do it at the Cotton Bowl. I got the city of Dallas behind me. It's going to be big, you know. Like I said, I get to the kids, you know. It's more about – it ain't just about football. You feel what I'm saying? I do different things like music, art, fashion, and then you got the academics, you know. Really like 4 or 5 other elements just besides football, you know. A lot of kids know they can play football, but football going to be over one day. What you going to do, you know? Or what do you like to do, you know? A lot of kids like music. They like acting, you know. Some kids can be an actor one day. But they never seen it, never was exposed to it. So what I do is fly them kids to L.A. so they can go see the acting school, or you like fashion, go to New York on Fashion Week, or, you know, just really getting these kids exposed to the world early.
You've been gone from San Francisco for a year, and you go right across the bay, which has got to be a little bit awkward in its own right. But, I mean, it's when you leave – the 49ers are nosediving. The Raiders are pointing up. What do you think the reasoning is behind what's going on in San Francisco right now?
Man, I can just control me. I just know me, you know. I don't know what they're doing, you know.
Yeah.
It didn't, for whatever reason, it didn't work out, you know. I'm with the Raiders. I'm a Raider, you know. I'm in tough with the Raiders. We going to war. Win, lose, or draw, you know. So I don't really have time to be worried about the Niners and what their problems are. Because that's not my team, you know. I wish them well, and I hope they get everything on track because he's got so many fans out here, man. The Raiders and the Niners fans, the Bay Area, period. Their fan base is crazy. You go to the Warriors game, it is crazy.
Yeah.
You know, it's the fan. The city shows so much love, man. I just hate for a team to be bad, you know. So, I mean, I wish them well.
At least you're on the right side of it. You know, and the way it looks, you stay on the right side of it. You were on the right side for a long time, and then right when you jumped, that ship sank, my man. You jumped off right in time.
Is it the person or the ship?
Maybe you were steering. I don't know.
Oh, okay. I'm just asking.
Maybe it was you.
I don't know. I'm just asking.
All right. That's Michael Crabtree, Oakland Raiders receiver. Well, you know, a lot of those 49er fans over there still love you, so.
I love them too, man. I love you. Can't you always gonna love the fans, man? They give you the motivation to play.
What do you think of Coach Harbaugh?
Coach Harbaugh?
Yeah,
one of my favorite coaches.
That guy can coach, huh?
Yeah, he's funny too. Like, it's just not about football. He's like entertainer. Like, he's an entertainer, bro. Like, that's entertainment. Like, every day, meetings, whatever, on the field, the dude's playing quarterback. You know what I'm saying? He's throwing you the ball. It's like entertaining.
That's the kind of coach you want, right?
Player's coach, man.
I like him. I think he's going to do great things up there in Michigan.
Yeah, I'm not worried about coach. Coach's going to coach.
Yeah. All right, man. We appreciate you taking the time, Mike. Check out Michael Crabtree on Twitter and Instagram at KingCrab5.
Follow me.
The Crab5 Foundation and Mike Coterie. If you want to look good, I could probably not pull that off, but I
got something for you.
You're looking slick, my man. Looking slick.
Got something for you.
All right.
Got what you need. Got what you want. Got what you need.
Michael Crabtree, Raiders wide receiver. Appreciate the time, Mike.
All right, man.
You still got me on that Miami trip.
Yeah, they're still sharing form here. We're going to take a quick break. Brett Fowler, A.J. Hoffman. We're back.
Yeah. this brouhaha.
You're listening to an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Radio Row in San Francisco for Super Bowl 50, presented by Wingstop and Herb Robbins Cloud, LLP. Live from Radio Row in San Francisco for Super Bowl 50, presented by Wingstop and Herd Robbins Cloud, LLP. This is The Blitz. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back here on Radio Row in San Francisco, and very excited about our next two gentlemen joining us here. One, our friends in Houston who listen to our local show are very familiar with Craig Gass, who is been on more than once and has been very entertaining.
And Tracy Morgan. What's happening, white people? Yeah.
God, you're so lucky that dude didn't die. That would have been a big blow to your act.
I got a stack of Walmart gift cards, and I'm ready to party.
And
who wants to hang out my handy van?
Ryan Leaf does.
Also joining us is Ryan Leaf.
Dude, Craig Gass came up to me and was like, hey, you want to have Ryan Leaf on? Yeah. The woman that was standing over here with Michael Crabtree was like, did he say Ryan Leaf?
Ryan came to my comedy show. He's been at my comedy gigs in L.A. And he's just one of the nicest guys I've ever met. And it's like, we had connected and said that we were both going to be up in San Francisco at the same time. So let's hang out, man. Let's hang out, have a meal, have some laughs, man. He's a funny dude.
I was sitting here thinking, Ryan Leaf probably isn't a guy who's crazy about doing a bunch of media. Like,
yeah.
you just seem like the kind of guy who would be like, nah, I'm good.
I'll pass.
I have a lot of life experience. And
boy, do you.
And they're funny stories.
Yeah.
I can make them funny, especially if I'm self-deprecating enough to make them funny. So,
yeah. Well, yeah. Let me start with you, because we were just talking during the break about this Johnny Football thing, and this dude is headed down the wrong path, clearly. I mean, he's a total mess. I mean, maybe you should reach out to him. You know what I'm saying? It might be a good time for you. You could probably get some publicity out of it too. Just say, "Hey, John, let me help you out here, bro."
It's like holding the mirror up. Seriously, I didn't get into any substance abuse issues until after I had retired. I'd like to blame my poor career on substance abuse, but I can't. So I did after the fact. So, but I know that there's a solution, and I see some of the behaviors and things that are going on, and he's just hurting. You know he is. He doesn't feel like he's got anybody to support him, but I know there's a ton of people that just would wrap their arms around him and help him. And asking for help is the strongest thing you can do. It feels like the weakest when you're a strong, supposed-to-be football player, but it's an opportunity, and I feel really bad. I do. But there's nothing – I'm not invested in the result. I can just say, hey, we have ideas. There's a road
we can
show you.
There's a video that just came out yesterday of the singer of Puddle of Mud. He's doing a show, and in the middle of his show, he just stops and he starts staring at a guy in the front row. He's clearly delusional.
Yeah.
And he starts accusing the guy in the front row, and he's like, Didn't I just see you? Right. Dude, this guy stole my house. This guy stole my house. And then people start booing him, and it's a spectacle for people, but it's like I watched it, and I was like, oh, man, this guy needs help.
That same dude rode the he rode the baggage claim, like, down into where the bags go.
Oh, yeah.
He's just a lunatic.
And it bums me out. It's like I see people like that, and I go, oh, man, that guy needs help. You know, I'm thankful that we're living in a day and age now where people know more about addiction, and it's not so much if you have an issue that people are like, oh, man, just going rehabs for quitters. You know?
Right. And you're clean, right?
Yeah, I've been clean. Yeah. Me, I've been clean for 11 years. But for me, it was like I had a heart attack, so I had to.
You had to.
I was like, all right, I think I'm done here. And I learned my lesson. It's like, okay, I'm tapping out. And that scared me straight 2 years later after the heart attack. I quit 2 years
after the heart attack. What about you? You clean?
Yeah, almost 4 years now. I was on the floor of a jailhouse floor. That's what did it finally.
Wow.
I got clean.
Hopefully, no one on top of you.
No, I was in solitaire for like my first 6 months.
Oh, really?
That's a great line. That was a great line. Hopefully, no one's on top of you.
That's such a prison thing.
Yeah, really.
dude, all those guys are in their way with you in prison.
Yeah, yeah.
You didn't have to get any like white power tattoos to like survive, did you?
I was in a Montana prison.
Okay, only white people.
There's only white people. Okay. So And there's and then we have the our Native American tribes up there, and so they were.
Was there a war?
No,
no. It's all, everybody was. It's all peace and love.
Because the poor Native Americans have just been stepped on their whole life. They just friendly in prison. They just relent. They're just like, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
You know.
I don't know what your experience. I went to jail for a DUI. Mm-hmm. And I just remember thinking, like, oh, no, I'm in jail. Like,
this was 3 years ago, right?
No, it was actually – that was the beginning of me turning it around was the DUI after the heart attack. And I remember being in jail and thinking, like, oh, dude, I hope nothing happens here. And like, but I found that everyone there was worried about the same thing. So I don't know what that experience was, but it seems like there's the first thing you think
if
of.
If the judge gives you prison time, and what'd they give you, 5 years? Was that your initial?
I did 32 months.
Okay, but your sentence was 5 years, right?
Seven.
Seven? You had to at some point think, oh, man, I got to go 7 years without getting raped. Like, that's a daunting.
It never crossed my mind.
That can't be true.
It's totally true.
Honestly, standing next to Ryan, it wouldn't cross my mind either if I was built like him.
I mean, how big are you?
6'6", 270.
Yeah.
Okay.
I wouldn't. That's not something I would
do. But they always say in prison there's always someone badder.
It's a gang mentality. There's a wolf pack mentality. But it just wasn't. I was so self-loathing. I mean, I stood in front of the judge and simply said, the judge, send me to prison. You do not. If you could have 7 years of Ryan-free drama in my hometown from my parents and this community, do that. I mean, I was so messed up. I was just like, take me down.
You think if you would have had a successful NFL career that you would have this would have never happened to you?
I wasn't capable of having a successful NFL career because I was a 16-year-old emotionally mentality, you know. If I would have had a successful career, maybe I'm not the person I am now with like this spirituality that I have and this unchaotic and peaceful life. I don't know if I would have ever had that. Like this is the most chaotic and atmosphere I've been in a long, long time. And it's been, I was nervous about coming up to San Francisco, but I had a great person with me to kind of help guide me through it. And I've got to see a lot of peers, and I got somebody like this who's behind me, and we're, you know, our ability to do that. By the way, all you radio people, I tapped him on the leg, you know, the visual.
Right. Well, we got cameras here. They can see it, so you're good. But have you had, I mean, a lot of former players that just come up to you and just say, you know, a good job. I mean,
it's amazing that it doesn't matter if you've played 1 year or 20. We all have something in common, and I forgot about that. There's a peer group that you can't find anywhere else, and there's like a sanctuary, and there's a couple of places around here in a hotel where we're able to go together and just be us. Just a bunch of old. I mean, I sat with Roger Staubach and Joe Namath today. I mean, come on, that's. Don't forget, I was a 4-year-old, 6-year-old kid in Great Falls, Montana. All I ever wanted to do was play football. I wanted to be Dan Fouts. I wanted to be Terry Bradshaw.
Yeah, as we were walking over here, I was like, hey, Ryan, some buddies of mine wanted to know if you want to join me over here on the air. And he's like, yeah, let's go. We start walking, and then I'm like, Donovan McNabb wants to say hi. All right. Mike Holmgren wants to say hi. All right. Hey, wow. That's a, you know, so, yeah, there's clearly a fraternity here that's pretty cool that a lot of people here love them.
You guys got
that? I didn't anticipate it. I didn't. I really was worried about coming up here again just – you know, I wanted to come and kind of talk about what my story was and what we're trying to do to help people, and that's more important than my feelings on all this.
You guys have time to hang on for another segment?
Sure.
All right.
All right. Well, are you cool with that?
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
All right. Cool. All right. I'm answering for both of us.
Thanks for checking with me, though.
Yeah, me and Ryan, we're good for that.
Cool. I figured.
All right, we're going to take a very quick break, and we'll come back with more of Ryan Lee and Craig Gass.
Yeah.
And us, of course.
Yeah, sure.
Don't go anywhere.
To an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Radio Row in San Francisco for Super Bowl 50.
I think this sounds awesome.
Presented by Wingstop and Herd Robbins Cloud LLP.
Patiently waiting to make it through all the hate and debating, whether or not you can even weather the storm. As you lay on the table, they operating to save you. It's like an angel came to you, sent from the heavens above.
They think they're crazy, but they ain't crazy, let's face it. Basically, they just playing sick. They ain't saying 50 A to the
pay. Get in the way, I'll bring drain and with me and turn this.
Live from Radio Row in San Francisco for Super Bowl 50, presented by Wingstop and Herd Robbins Cloud LLP. This is The Blitz. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
All right, we are back and with another segment with Craig Gass and Ryan Leaf. Guys, we really appreciate y'all sticking around for just a minute. But
we got a half segment. We had to bump Mike Singletary.
That was crazy. I was like, oh, no, Mr. Singletary, you sit right here. All right.
I wanted to finish up with you guys.
It got intense right before we went to commercial.
Yeah, okay. First, tell us about the show you're doing out here on Saturday.
I'm doing a show.
Is it sold out? Do you even need to plug it?
I'm doing a show at a place called the Rock Bar Theater in San Jose.
Okay.
It's a show in San Jose. Saturday night, rockbartheater.com. And again, I scheduled it early enough so they could get off stage and run off to go see Metallica.
That's the main goal.
Because, you know, I can't get them to come to my show, but they're having me come to their show. So
that works.
Yeah, and it's going to be fun. And I'm coming to Houston. I'm going to be in Houston May. First weekend of May.
All right.
I'll be back at that Comedy Showcase, the place that I was at last time.
Okay.
Are you going to come in studio?
I'll come in studio. And, you know, it's weird. I think the week that I'm going to be there, I think Morgan Freeman, Mark Wahlberg, and Adam Sandler are filming a movie that week. We'll see if we can get them to come in the studio.
I bet we could probably make that happen.
Can I do the worst Mark Wahlberg impression of all time right now?
Sure.
I'm filming a new TV show in 2 weeks with Dana Carvey. It's a show about people who do impressions. So they want me to work on more impressions. So I came up with the worst Mark Wahlberg impression of all time. I need it's not even Mark Wahlberg. I call it out of breath Mark Wahlberg, okay? I need a scenario. You guys need to give me some kind of a scenario that Mark Wahlberg can run into the middle of, and I'll show up as out of breath Mark Wahlberg, okay?
Okay.
Go ahead.
So this stuffed bear just bleeped my girlfriend, and I'm about to kick this stuffed bear's ass.
AJ, are you serious? Bro, I've been watching you with that stuffed bear all this time. Are you serious? Come on. Ryan's here. You're embarrassing me in front of Ryan. Come on. Feel it. Feel it. All right, thank you very much. Right. That was out of breath, Mark. That's the worst.
I do like the feel it at the
end. I threw it in because it's such a crappy impression.
It's a throwback to the Funky Bunch.
That I have to go back to the Funky Bunch so that you know.
I love it.
Yeah, it's subtle. It's subtle.
It was so subtle.
Right.
Let's just scratch that part from any replay.
I think the only constructive criticism I would give is that, or coaching-wise, was maybe a little more out of breath. It didn't seem like it was – to say it was out of breath Mark Wahlberg, it wasn't so out of breath
Mark
Wahlberg.
Okay, all right. I'll work on it.
You got anything you're plugging, Ryan?
I'm not. Well, I'm plugging a happy, unchaotic, peaceful life. I think that's important.
Did you say you're living in L.A.?
Yeah, I'm living in L.A.
So you moved from Montana to L.A. to find – no chaos and peace.
Isn't that funny?
I get lost in the shuffle in L.A.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm a pretty
– Montana, you're big noise.
I'm pretty anonymous in L.A., and I'm with a company that we run sober living homes all over the country. Houston, we have a sober living community in Houston and New York, and then a bunch in L.A. here. So this is an opportunity for me to, you know, say, hey, people out there who are struggling with anything, I got a path. And I got an opportunity for you. It's called Transcend Recovery Community. So that's the pitch.
We booted Mike Singletary, so we can keep talking.
We can keep going. Yeah,
we're good. He ain't got time for it, huh?
Yeah.
What a great thing! What a great thing to do for people who are in need of help. You know, that's a great thing.
I always say, and this is where I become a Ryan Leaf advocate. I mean, obviously, Ryan Leaf. No offense, you're no Peyton Manning, but everybody will say he's the big bust of the draft. And I say, you know, Andre Wadsworth went right after him. He's probably just as much of a bust, if not more of a bust, than Ryan Leaf. People don't talk about that. But, I mean, you're not Peyton Manning. But it's not – a lot of guys don't live up to where they're drafted.
There was a ton of expectation, not more than on myself by me. I had a lot of expectations, too. I wanted to be – very successful. I just didn't have the work ethic when times got hard like these guys who do. And there's 32 of them in this league. There's 32 starting quarterbacks. And guess what? Probably 15 of them are great.
Yeah.
So there's 15 people in this world that have the skill set to do what they do on a daily basis to be great in this league. I simply just didn't have it at that time in my life. I had the capabilities to get there, but what it took to be great, like Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Ben Roethlisberger. It just wasn't in me at the time.
You know what's kind of funny about this conversation, Fred, is earlier, I mean, it's been a couple hours ago, we had Doug Flutie on. Doug Flutie, who's not blessed with some of the physical tools that you are blessed with. And he was like, I had to work for everything. Like, it, you know, there were times when I would win a job outright, but I had the next week I had to work even harder because they were looking for a reason to take it from me. Do you sometimes feel like if you hadn't had the physical attributes that you had, that maybe you would have had to push yourself harder, maybe you would have instilled a bit of a better work ethic?
Maybe, because things were always so easy. But then I look back and I go, I worked damn hard in college. You know, we were really good. I just don't – I started getting criticized, and I didn't know how to deal with failure. Failure is a part of life in everything we do. We fail a hell of a lot more times than we do succeed. I just didn't – I hadn't failed yet. And yeah. instead I fail at the highest level, and I just became defensive, and I started fighting with the media, which you cannot do, and then my teammates, because I blame it on them rather than take the accountability myself. You just can't win like that. There's special people in this world that all those come together, the physical attributes, the brain, the emotional ability, the behavior to deal with stuff, and you see those guys at the end of the season here. That's what you see each year. Ben, Aaron, Drew Bledsoe when he was playing, who was my hero, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, now Cam Newton stepping on the scene. I mean, those are the individuals. You can hold them on one hand or two hands.
Yeah.
It's not like a huge basket full of these guys like going, how did he not do that, you know? Everybody does it.
It's interesting because I think you can compare that in comedy too. People who succeed in comedy are not necessarily the best comedians. There's great comedians who never make it to the top because what makes them so honest on stage, they carry into their personal life, and they ruin relationships by never editing themselves and always speaking honestly and crapping on people. It's like it's a combination of things that make you succeed in comedy. I thought it was really interesting that you just broke it down into like multiple facets that make you successful. You know, same thing. And I've seen that relationship in comedy.
But and because of all those things, because I wasn't successful as an NFL player, took me down a hole that I didn't know how to get out of. But because that happened and where I got to then and now, I'm going to be happy because I'm living a peaceful and chaotic life. I'm going to be happy now. I don't need the approval of anybody, and I also don't need to show up here and talk just so everybody knows my life is okay.
But you also had to go through a lot to get there.
Right.
And I know when we were talking about Manziel earlier, you're seeing other people – and we look at some quarterbacks, NFL specific, and I think in comedy too, you see a lot of guys who fall into problems simply because the pressures that come with it. You've matured, but you kind of had to lose it all. Is there a path for guys that can mature and learn and get past this and still keep their careers before they have to wind up going?
I hope so. For me, I had to hit my bottom. My bottom had to be waking up on a jailhouse floor. That was I had to be humbled to that point because of my stubbornness, my pride. That's where I had to go. But not everybody has to have that same bottom. It has to be their bottom, whatever gets them to that point.
Are you sure you didn't get?
No. Was I the bottom?
The bottom. It has to be your bottom. You had to be humbled. I feel like there's a.
There was a safe place. What websites are you visiting, dude?
There was a large man named Brutus in the prison cell in Montana that showed me the path.
It was a one-way street until Brutus got there.
You know
there.
What? He was gentle. He was a gentleman.
They always are.
Yeah, those
me,
Melody,
Frank, and a shoehorn.
Greg,
we just hung out.
Good luck with your show on Saturday. Good
Thanks,
luck at the
sir.
Metallica
Thank
show.
Thank you.
We'll see you in May.
And I want to send you a video to post that went viral with ESPN and the NFL on Fox. I want to send you the video that I posted of all the funny stuff that I got from the players at Media Day.
Right on.
They declared the funniest moment of Super Bowl.
We'll tweet it out.
Awesome.
And Ryan,
yes,
thanks for stepping over here with us, man. I'm glad you didn't get raped in prison. That makes me happy for
ripped
you.
Or raped.
Ripped or raped.
You and me both, apparently.
Both probably would have happened.
Sure.
But I'm glad you seem to got have everything in order, man. That's good for you.
Today I do.
Yeah, today you do.
Today I do. You know, tomorrow we'll try it again.
Hurry up and get out of this chaos.
All right, we're going to go to break. I think we might have one more guest, but we'll see.
Yes, we'll
guys,
have,
thanks a lot, man. Really appreciate y'all coming on. We'll be right back. Fred Fowler, AJ Hoffman here at Radio Row in San Francisco.
Donnie D's on the back up. Truck free, so put the crack up. No need for speed, I'm anti. D-R-U-T-G-I-E, my. Wealthy, and the Pokemon challenge me. Spring
Fish brouhaha.
You're listening to an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Radio Row in San Francisco for Super Bowl 50, presented by Wingstop and Herb Robbins Cloud LLP.
Do you have the time to listen to me whine about nothing and everything all at once? I am one of those melodramatic fools, neurotic to the bone, no doubt about it. Sometimes I give myself the creeps. Sometimes my mind plays tricks on me.
Live from Radio Row in San Francisco for Super Bowl 50, presented by Wingstop and Herb Robbins Cloud LLP. This is The Blitz. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on Radio Row here in San Francisco. And one final guest before the end of the show, and one that I'm very much looking forward to talking with. Loved watching this guy at LSU, now with the Miami Dolphins. And the last game of his that I got a chance to watch a lot of was he was running around the Houston Texans like they were standing still.
Boy.
Jarvis Landry joins us. I want to ask you about that game first, because we were watching it. It just looked like Keystone Cops or the other. You made them look bad, man. They couldn't make a tackle. And I mean, that, well, it had to be fun because you...
Definitely.
But what was going on in that game, man?
Oh, man. You know, for us, with the coaching change being so evident, I guess, so soon, you know, we wanted to come out and try to find a way to figure out who we were, you know, as I form an identity as a team. And, man, we just were making plays, you know. I think we scored 41 points, like the most ever in a half.
Yeah.
And, man, we were just out there making plays, man. Out there, guys are out there being great. That's what I say.
I mean, when you're at what do your coaches say to you at halftime of a game like that? Because halftime's a time to make adjustments. Do you just say, hey, let's not adjust anything?
Keep pouring it on.
Yeah, don't change anything.
Keep pouring it on. Nah, I hate to disrespect another team, you know, but.
But you did.
your play did that.
Yeah, you disrespected them on the field. That's what you did.
No, it was, but no, it was fun, man. I could say that was one of my funnest moments, man. Just, I felt like a kid again out there, man, just playing, having fun with the guys.
Now, obviously, besides that one game, the rest of the season didn't go as expected in Miami. There were high expectations coming into the season. We talked to Dan Marino about this a little bit earlier. This was kind of a year that Ryan Tannehill was expected to make a jump, and kind of we were going to see if he was either going to become great or if maybe there was still work to be done. And I think at the end of the season, a lot of people still think there's work to be done, and maybe there's some questions about, is Ryan Tannehill still the quarterback of the future in Miami? And those are the kind of questions you hate to have going into an off season. But what are your thoughts on the direction that Miami is headed in?
You know, first of all, I speak on Ryan. You know, he's a great quarterback. I mean, you look at his numbers, he's getting better every year. The only thing is we have to put wins with those numbers, you know. And so it doesn't look as evident. But at the same time, man, he's the leader of our team. He commands the huddle like a quarterback should. But for us, man, leaders got to step up in the locker room. You know, we have to find a way to band together as a group of brothers and, you know, keep everything in-house, man. We had a lot of distraction, a lot of things going on around us, from coaches to just everything. You know, we got to find a way for leaders to step up and take control of the team.
When you came out of college, obviously, you played with another pretty good receiver at LSU. And
LSU has a ton of them.
Yeah.
The way it looks.
Yeah. But when you came out, I mean, you had a pretty good impact for a rookie. I mean, 84 catches. I mean, almost 800 yards. That's for your first year in the league. You took a nice step this year. What's the next step for you? What level do you think you can be at in year three? Because obviously, you know, you're on a pretty good progression here.
Elite, man. I want to be the greatest. You know, I want to be the greatest. And I don't say that just to say it. You know, I don't fiddle around with that word. Every time I take the field, I keep that in mind. So this year for me, man, not only is it getting wins up in Miami, but, you know, it's, you know, proving to the world, to whoever is consideration of putting, you know, other receivers before me.
We got a couple things I want to hit on you. Things that when you walk up, I notice about you. Your hands are gigantic. I mean, well, you shook my hand, and I've got pretty big hands. And your fingers were, like, touching me halfway up my forearm. How big are your hands?
I don't know how big they are, but they're pretty big.
Good Lord, that's insane.
The other thing I noticed, your bro phone and your ho phone, they look exactly alike. Is there ever confusion?
No, there's never confusion. Matter of fact, listen. one phone works, one phone doesn't. One phone works, one phone doesn't.
Okay, I got you. We've been asking all the receivers who've come on with us. Your greatest. What do you think the greatest catch you've ever seen in a Super Bowl is? What comes to mind when I say
David Tyree?
The helmet catch, right?
The helmet catch.
It's got to be, right?
That's kind of
that one. Santonio Holmes, though.
That was a good one too, and that was that.
That's a
touchdown, which makes it even better.
Exactly.
You know, but yeah, that's been kind of the consensus. Michael Crabtree agreed with you. Victor Cruz, of course, agreed with that one. I mean, no surprise. Jarvis, tell us what you've got going on with the creative life.
Oh, man, the Creative Life TCL, man, it's one of the fastest-growing TV brands in the last 3 years. So what they do is basically they partner with Roku. Roku is basically put their software inside of the TV. So it's what you think with Apple TV with the plugins, it's right. Already built in the TV.
It's like a smart TV.
It's smarter than a smart TV.
Gotcha.
It's smarter than the smart TV. And you can stream videos, man. You can stream anything that's streamable on those TVs. And what I really appreciate those guys the most for, man, I every year I do a back-to-school thing. And they're going to donate a couple TVs, some signed things, and I'll give back to the community a little bit, partnering with TCL.
Well, Jarvis, man, continued success to you. I'm looking forward to seeing what you're going to do the next couple years. And I've been following you since the LSU days. So good luck. Really appreciate the time. And glad you're done for the day, too. Go out and enjoy San Francisco.
Enjoy it, my man.
Thank you.
Who you got in the game?
24-17, Carolina.
All right.
There it is. Okay, that's going to wrap it up. We got the Talk of Fame guys coming up next. I got some terrific guests lined up as well.
Including Tyler Lockett, Jerry Rice on the list today.
Yeah, that's it.
Some good receivers running around this spot
today.
Yeah,
yeah.
Hey, good to meet you, man.
All right, we'll be back here tomorrow.
Look at that.
I'm telling you, man. His hands are huge.
Like a bear paw.
All right, we'll be back here tomorrow at 1 p.m. Pacific. Enjoy the rest of the evening. We'll be back then. Until then, stay sportsy.
Listening to an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow. Live from Radio Row in San Francisco for Super Bowl 50. Presented by Wingstop and Herb Robbins Cloud, LLP.